This is the start of Sound Roll 9. What's the camera roll? The camera roll is 28.
This is, they have one here.
I got a daughter that's coming. Hey, what happened to you? What happened to your red, white, and blue eye?
Oh, back in the house.
I think they don't like to see that.
Go ahead, Steve.
Okay. Wait, wait a minute.
Oh, we haven't got it.
I get some astounding reactions.
I bet you.
Sweet.
Red, white, and blue thing.
65 head.
Now, we're having everybody talking about some of the hard times on the medicine show. And I know that you had a lot of hard times on the medicine show, so I thought we'd get you over here and just to have you talk a little bit. I remember you told one story about how you had it, you know, you were so hard that you had to go and steal food, and you still don't eat those dishes. You remember that? Could I have you just start from the beginning and tell about that?
Oh, yeah.
Just a second now. I got to get in a better place.
I wasn't on a medicine show. I was on a conference.
Well, why don't you just go ahead and tell the story?
We went to Augusta, Georgia. I can't remember the year now, but we was on Gypsy White's little mud show. And the thing went stranded. We had nothing. I had one dress, one pair of shoes. And the boys, the canvassmen, went out and stole chickens and collard greens and went in one of those things. What you go up on the get they got the sweet potatoes out. And they half baked them. We went down the riverbank and they washed them chickens and picked them and in that old muddy water. And we ate that stuff because we didn't get anything. It was cold. And the man only showed we knew where he went. He just vanished out the way. And we had to stay from place to place. And I got a job working for a white lady. She asked me to iron something and I ironed for her. And then she kept me doing housework. And that's how I fed the bunch, me and myself. We pooled our little money together. Let's have a dime, just have a quarter, let's have 50 cents. And we cooked and had stew beef and rice and all that kind of stuff. And we had a good time. But I'm saying that to say we never know what's going to happen to any of us. I came with in a hard way. I came with my show business in a hard way. Sometimes I'd sleep in the snow and the rain would be falling down my face, snow would be falling down my face, but I kept right on going. I just enjoyed show business and I just wanted to be in it, and that's how I got in show business.
Good. Talk about hopping freight trains when you...
Oh yeah, when I first left home, I ran off when I was 13 years old. It was in Sophie, West Virginia, and I went on Miller's Mars United shows, and I dressed up in overalls and a cap. And they thought I was a boy. My hair was long and I twisted up tight on my head and kept it pulled down. And you know how they found out I was a girl? By the way you wash your hands. A woman and a man washes their hands in different. You didn't know that, did you? But they do it so different. You can tell a woman from a man the way they wash their hair, their hands. And that's how they knew that I was a girl.
Okay, that's great. We just ran out of film, so let's... Can you start a little earlier and say that, you know, why, how did they... Did you get it? Second?
Second.
How did you know? Can you start again and just say how they knew you were a...
Well, they kept watching me, and some said they thought I was a girl, some said they thought I was a boy, but they really were good to me. So one day I went to wash my hands. I'd got some dirt or something on my hands, and I was washing dishes. They paid me 15 cents a day. And see, a woman washed her hands over this way, and a man, he washed his hand, he'd shake his hands. And that's how they found out I was a girl, by the way I washed my hand. A woman, you take a man, you get on one side and the woman was, you see the difference in how they wash their hands. Now that's how they found out that I was a little girl. And so they took me up, she said, you know what, I'm gonna make a perform out of you. I said, what to be? She said, I'm gonna learn you how to sing and dance. I said, I don't believe it. And so sure enough, she did. Evelyn Redding, she's dead and gone now. And she laid up on the piano, she's a great big fat lady, and she hit on the piano, da-da-da-da-da-da-da, one of them things. And she made rehearsal all night long, one song, I had to do that song, that by my lonely self. And that's how I got started in show business. So eventually I traveled, and finally I got up with David S. Bell in Valdosta, Georgia.
What song did she make you sing?
Lonesome Road.
How did that go?
Look down, a lonesome road before you travel alone. Look up, look look up and seek your maker before Gabriel blow his horn. We travel down that lonesome road. We travel with a heavy load. Oh, look down, look down at lonesome road before you travel on. And that was the song.
I said she was talking about colored folks and her working for white folks, but the white folks in show business had it just as bad as the colored folks did. In some ways, maybe a little bit worse.
But we didn't know it.
No, we didn't realize how bad it was. Right. My husband worked for 25 cents a day at his sister's house and our keep, and that was big money. Mm-hmm. And we used to go through Terre Haute, Indiana. And there was a place called Pitch Till You Win joint. When you hit a Pitch Till You Win joint, you know what that is.
Right,
what
right.
What is it?
It gets your stomach full for little or nothing.
That's right. We'd pay 25 cents and go in, and they had about three kinds of meat, eight or nine vegetables on the table, three or four desserts, two or three fruits, and it was 25 cents and all of your drink that you wanted.
And good old crackling cornbread.
But that, yeah, and that quarter was awful hard to come by, believe me. But we used to eat grits so much that I didn't want any more grits ever. But I've just learned recently to eat grits again, just lately. And I'm 66 years old.
And I'm 79. And in a minute there, we thought we were going to have to pay a lot and get a room, a beautiful room for 25 cents a night.
Right.
And thought that was high.
Well, wait a minute, I got you beat. My husband decided that 50 cents for a motel room was too much. We slept on the ground in Texas, and it snowed on us.
Well, I slept on the ground, slept between logs, and it snowed in my face and covered up with a man's overcoat.
Right.
All them kind of things. I've had it rough, too.
That's for sure. I know.
You better believe it. You better believe it. And I thank God for today, because with His God's goodness, where I'm here today.
Right.
Because we have had, and the people today, they think they're doing something show, but they ain't doing nothing.
Tell them.
See, they're
going
to holler right now, they'll starve.
Tell them about the time we slept on the ground, paid other people's hotel bills so they could stay in hotels.
He saved the 50 cents because there was somebody else with the show that just couldn't profit. That, you know, so he paid the 50 cents for the motel room, but not for me and him, but for the other guy. And we slept on the ground and had a snow on. No, I wanted you to
then
tell
they round up and wound up taking their suitcase and everything else.
Yeah, we had everything stolen from us. That's the truth.
Tell them about sleeping on the medicine show stage.
Well, I never did. Fortunate enough that, thank goodness, I never had to sleep on the medicine stage for that. But I did sleep in the trails, you know, but I had to sleep on the floor, padded on the floor. But I never had to sleep on the stage. And one time I ever had to sleep on the stage, we went in, it was Mr. Bartok, we went into Rocky Mountain, North Carolina. There was a big old storm came, and it blew everything down. And that's the only time I had to sleep on the stage. I never had to, but that's the only occasion I ever had to sleep on the stage on the medicine show. But I tell you what incident did happen to me in Philadelphia. I was on Bartop and North Philadelphia. And the place was crowded with this huge of people. And I was singing. I had on a long yellow, canary yellow satin gown, evening gown. And I heard the children say, "Come back, Daddy, come back, Daddy, come back, Daddy." And when I know things down on the floor, I went, my head went down, my heels went up, the man actually choked me to death and took five police to get them loose from me. And I walked this way for about 3 months this way. I couldn't walk no other time. We had to walk, went berserk.
Now I'm gonna tell you why you got in that trouble.
Why?
You was wearing a yellow dress.
Well, so did. And I thought sure I was gonna, he broke my neck and I had to go this way.
Yep.
This whole way like this. And I'm telling you, that's the only real tragedy I had the whole time I was in show business. 32 years, that's the only tragedy I really had.
You know yellow's bad luck on the show.
I didn't wear no more. And it's random, you know, that stage there was high, almost higher than this, high, high. And he leaped up on that just like a frog.
Yeah.
And down my head went up, and I'm telling you, I could, that's all I could
do. What was he trying to do?
I went berserk.
Oh. He just thought you was pretty and he wanted to steal you.
What else was bad luck on the show?
After rain peanuts and open the shells all over the place, or whistle in the dressing room. Oh, don't you whistle in no dressing room. Don't you bring them peanuts here. You heard that?
Right.
Don't you do that.
Now, you know why they didn't like peanuts on the lot?
No, I don't.
They break the shell. A rake won't get them. You can't pick them up with a pickup stick. And they make a mess. Mm-hmm. So they invented that superstition. Don't eat peanuts on the show lot. There's another one that's a bad luck. And I know you know this too, the camelback trunk.
Right. And don't drive a bicycle on the lot, Brian.
I didn't ever hear
that. Oh, yeah, don't you drive a bicycle.
Did you ever hear that?
Yeah.
Oh, Bob has, but
yes,
I haven't.
Don't
That's
drive
new.
A bicycle.
How about that?
But I think more the reason they're afraid they'd run into somebody to hurt them than
yeah.
it was
well,
really
I
the
truth. Yeah, they wouldn't allow you to drive a bicycle.
But the camelback trunk, now, I'll tell you the
That's
reason.
That's a jinx to today.
It's a jinx till today?
Yes, it still is.
Well, the reason they didn't like the camelback trunks was because on most of the shows, for instance, on a circus, suppose you were an aerialist and you had beautiful rhinestones and a gorgeous costume, and you put them in a camelback trunk. Then you had all these working men that had to load them on the wagons or on the trucks. All right, so they put that thing up there. And have you ever tried to put anything on top of a camelback trunk?
Because
it won't
stay up there.
You know?
Don't you get there? You'll slide off yourself. If you didn't know how to put yourself in a hole, you'd whoop down.
All right, so now the working man didn't like that darn thing because it had to wait till the last to be put on because then if they had too many of them, how was he going to pack the truck? So to make sure the dead burn thing would work, he'd take a sledgehammer and bust the top in. Mm-hmm. Now, if the truck's going down the road and it's raining, look what happens to all those beautiful costumes. So then they'd say, oh, that truck was bad luck.
They didn't know somebody that busted the top in. They thought it just happened.
And them costumes at the time was heavy.
Yeah.
All of it was way too down.
Right.
You couldn't see any of your body, nothing. You're just wasting perspiration.
Right. In those days, you weren't allowed to show any part of your skin.
No. All up to you.
Yeah, right.
And them big old heavy hats on. Sometimes my head hurts so bad I'd be just going on down one of them things. Well, I enjoyed it. Thank God for it. Thank God for this opportunity.
Yeah.
Thank God for everything. Because he's the head of the house. Thank
right.
God.
Okay, cut. That was nice. You're a good storyteller,
Eric. I missed the first part of that. We're going to continue after the boy and girl. Born and raised in?
I was born in Huntington, West Virginia.
Huntington?
West Virginia, But I left home when I was 13 years old. And I didn't go back till I was 27.
Yeah. Johnson Lane, 3rd Avenue.
Yeah, down to the 8th Avenue. Well, I live 4th Avenue. Mm-hmm, that's my home. Well, we had a good time. I love show business till today, but I just got tired. I retired in 60. I just got tired running here and running there and going. I just got tired and older too. So I just resigned myself. But I could have gone back a lot of time, but I just didn't want to, and I joined church.
Yeah.
So I love working in churches now.
Yeah.
I'm devoted to children.
Yeah.
I got an 18-piece junior choir I'm a director of, and I'm a director of a lot of things, president of a lot of things.
Yeah.
So I enjoy working for the Lord now.
Yeah, that's
just
good.
Like I work for the devil now, I give my life to the God.
You didn't work for the devil. What made you think you was working for the devil?
Well, they said that. Well, that's what they tell me, you know. But anyway, I give the rest of my life to God. I had pneumonia 4 times within 2 years.
Yeah.
You know, that's not a good thing.
No,
so I had
no.
to. So I promised God, I said, if you raise me, I'll give you my life. And that's what I'm trying to do.
That's a good way to go.
It hadn't been for Steve, I never would have been here today. Just such a nice young man. I said, well, this is against my will, but I'm going anyway.
Yeah, right.
And I talked to God about it. He's told me to go head on. So he's the one I'll be.
That was just wild sound, and the camera was getting cutaways. We are getting ready to do this walking shot now.
Take me back to Tulsa, I'm too young to marry. Well, the little bee sucks the blossom. Big bee gets the honey. Little man raids the cotton. Big man gets the money. Take me back to Tulsa. I'm too young to marry. Take me back to Tulsa. I'm too young to marry. I like to go to Tulsa, boy, I surely would. Let me off on your trip and I'll walk down to Greenwood. Take me back to Tulsa, I'm too young to marry. Take me back to Tulsa, I'm too young to marry. We always wear a great big smile, never do looks over. Traveling over the country, playing by the hour. Take me back to Tulsa, oh, I'm too young to marry. Take me back to Tulsa, I'm too young to marry.
I hear you snuff. Snuff you, stuff on that white road, boy.
He was starting to tell me.
What does that mean?
That was wild music.
Just like
67 head.
Why is that gal with the red dress on? Some folk call her time. Throw my heart away from the street I'm moving.
What does that look like to you?
It looks like spaghetti.
You know, by golly, that's just exactly what it is.
You kid. Exactly. You know what I, it kind of reminded me of when you set that jar down?
No.
A bunch of broke fiddle strings.
Like about what, an E string?
Yeah, something? Well, G-A-E.
Yeah, yeah.
What, I can't figure one thing out though. Why in the world you got a big jar of spaghetti and feeding it into a little jar? It don't add up. I don't understand what
you... Well, I'll tell you.
You going fish?
No,
you're not going to fish.
No, nothing like that.
Oh, I see.
The thing is, I could explain this to you, Pappy, but it's a pretty scientific thing. This has to do with the medical history, and it gets so deep in detail that it gets kind of hard to explain. I don't know if you would...
Well, I see you digging in that spaghetti right there, but you said deep detail.
Yes.
You're really getting down to it.
You would almost think this would be a simple process, but in reality, it isn't.
It's, I was going to say, it looks like it'd be about as hard as threading a needle.
It's nothing that a seven-year-old child could do, I'll assure you.
Well, what you said something a while ago,
you get this in the second year of medical school.
That's what you
I'll
do?
I'll explain it to you sometime when I get an opportunity.
All right, well, after you get that bottle, you gonna do what? I don't understand what you're gonna do after you get it in there.
You come down tonight, and I may be able to give you a more detailed explanation, but this requires a great deal of concentration and...
Hold it, Doc.
Okay.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, big bee gets the money. Little man raised cotton.
Wrong.
Big man gets the money.
Fight it.
Take me back to Tulsa. I'm too young to marry.
No, you hit.
Take me back to Tulsa. I'm too young to marry.
Johnny. Okay, go ahead, Doc. there, Doc.
Hey, Pappy, how
are
you?
How you doing?
Well, great, all right.
Good, good.
How about you?
Oh, doing just fine,
great.
Just fine.
Oh,
hey, what? I can't figure what you're doing.
Well, you can kind of figure it out from here in.
I haven't figured.
It seems simple enough, doesn't it?
It looks simple,
yeah. But it really isn't. I'll tell you the truth of it.
What's all this in the jar?
Well, what does it look like to you?
It looks like spaghetti.
You know, by golly, that's just exactly what it is.
Well, I'll be darned. It looks like what you're doing would be about as hard as threading a needle.
It's even more difficult than that.
You kid.
Even then, you can
you
go wrong. Yeah, patience, persistency, and perseverance. And even then, you can go wrong on this.
I'll be darned. You know what it reminds me of?
No, what is that?
It reminds me of a bunch of broke fiddle strings.
Like a G-string?
Or whatever you want to call it.
Right.
By the way, since you're doing that, and I don't know the purpose, what you gonna do with it after you do that?
Well, I'll tell you, it gets a little bit involved, and I kind of hesitate to start it now. This is something that is so deep and detailed and of a scientific nature that I kind of hesitate to even start the explanation because I don't have that much time.
Well, when would I find out? I mean, why can't I find out? I'd like to know something about it.
Well, remind me, and I'll try and tell you. This comes up in the second year of medical school, and it gets pretty involved with medical terms, and I don't know whether you would understand all this or not, but give me an opportunity. I'll certainly explain it to you one of these days.
When?
In the very near future.
You will?
You call it to my attention.
All right. Well, I'll tell you, it's got me really bone fuddled up here. I never seen nobody just poke.
I suppose you could go around a while and be a long time before you saw this again, but it's a really quite a common practice for some of us professional people.
You know, it's kind of like an old saying, putting a big jar or putting a little pot in a big pot.
You might hit that.
The big pot in the little.
That's
put it right like it ought to
be. Probably could go that far.
Go that far with it.
Okay.
Well, you're gonna do no more explaining on what you
finally, this will probably come to you, and it'll be so simple that you'll wonder why you didn't figure it out in the very first moment.
You won't tell me when?
Not right now. This requires such concentration that I kind of hate to be talking and doing this at the same time.
Well, I can tell you're not nervous putting it in there. I can see it's not shaking.
Well, I've had a lot of practice.
You're a good spaghetti handler.
2 years of medical school, you know that.
Oh, well, you have a good sturdy hand.
Great, that's great.
That's good. Well, how long did it take you to feel that up?
Oh, I should be done in an hour and a half.
Hour and a half? You're going to do that for an hour and a half?
Well, you got to get it right.
You've got a long ways to go.
That's right.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure amazed at that. That's the first time I've ever seen a person cramming spaghetti out of a big jar into a little one when you can leave it in there like that. That's a pass of love it.
That's just what it looks like, it seems like to you, but really, it's a lot more to it than that.
Well,
people have tried this and couldn't make it at all. They just couldn't come out of it.
Well, I would believe so. Well, I'm going to be anxious to know some more about it later when you have a chance to tell me about it.
I remember when I started to try to do this, I was hopeless. I couldn't. What some of them said you could never make it at all, but I finally did.
Rolling. Slate.
Got it.
70 head.
You ready? Okay, Greasy, go ahead.
Go ahead. Putting this blackface comedian on you don't put it on like you do. Some people might call mine a clown, but it isn't. It's tramp comedian. It's G-string tramp. That's heavy, and doing black is heavy. So, this is what I used to do 30 years ago. Just getting a little bit complicated and having to do it. I don't have that much to do. You take this off with water. And you take the other off with baby oil, just ordinary baby oil you can take the other off with, which is clown white. That's what you use for your mouth, which I've done put on. And this is Stein's burnt cork. That's what you use for that. That's what you use for the black ratchet, which don't take but just a little bit. Goes on real easy. Put it on like that. You don't take this but just a little bit to put it on. And when you get it on, all you got to do is just pick up your wig, which you got a wig. This is it right here. This is it. And you use a hat as a wig, and this is a hat, a little mashed up, but it's still a hat. You use this year and when you get this year on. Of course, you use this with water and sometimes it'll streak a little bit, but you just pick it up a little bit more and you do it. Now, this has been a long time since I put this on because we ain't been using it. I mean, I switched over to the sudden. It's four or five different characters, which is old man character, used grease paint. And it's Toby, who used grease paint. That's red and white. And of course, you use black, that's trim, or whatever you want, freckles and stuff. You want black or red. So, might have to have a black head now and again, so you can use this. This goes all the way together. But this clown white, now clowns uses it all over the face. And then they fix their eyes up where you can't see nothing. But in ours, you don't. The character we used to do it and we're doing now is my old one, you see. And this can be put on, and I'll say, when I'm putting it on real, I can do it and be on stage in about 10 minutes. By the time I first start dressing, if I'm in a hurry, I can get it on fast, and I can take it off. Take it off. Well, I'll tell you why I learned how to take it off fast. See, when I was young, I had a date waiting on me out there in front, and them little mountain gals don't wait on you. And so when you get it on, you got to get it off. And so when the people's leaving the lot, to keep them from knowing it's the show boy taking one of the girls home, I'm back and washed up, and I'm going off with them, see, so they don't pay too much attention to me. Wouldn't look nice, you know, if everybody's gone off. She's waiting on the lot in the dark. So, you know, back in them days, that didn't go too good. And there's might be a lot of blackface comedians and Toby comedians all hung up in the mountains for doing that. But I learned better. I took a warning from the skeletons hanging in the trees. And I thought I'd get to them and get it all quick. And this year, of course, you know, you always got to have a tie if you're dressed up, you know that. Always keep a good tie, see, and don't do it like some friends do it. You got to learn how to tie it, because you're in a hurry. Now, you're ready to go with your tie. So, you're ready to go with your wig, and you're ready to go with your hat. So, now you're ready to work. You're ready to work. It gets up there. When you get it on, you got to get it off fast. Now, the other ones, I say, you don't have to have it all over like this. But it's just about as bad if you don't know how to take it off and put it on. It's a little bit more complicated than putting a tramp comic on because it's lines to make. And you have line, and you got to line your eyes and all this. You don't. You just grab it up, put it on. But it's still got to be put on right, so you can take it off right. And when you get ready to take it off, you take baby oil like this. You take it off with that baby oil, and you just get an old towel, and you do it like this. Now the other character, you use this is a lining pencil, which you line your eyes with and trim your eyes. That's in tramp comic, which I do. Which, you know, clowns do too, but they use a bigger pencil than this. It's a different pencil. And this is Stein's grease paint, which you can, it's a black, but it's a heavy grease paint. See what you do this with. And if you want to do according to what character you're doing. Now, Toby's, they use red, and some makes it a little different. Blend it. You got to blend it, and you need a powder puff. We use a powder puff. When you get the black on, or when you get your Toby make on, to make it look natural, you get your powder on there and beat it a little bit, and just beat it right on your face. That takes the glitter off from your footlights and your border lights, and of course on there, it looks natural from the audience when you're looking at it. See, you fixing up for the audience. And this pencil over here, that's the reason you got to draw a bigger line. So they can look in, it kind of brings your eyes out. It don't let them be sinking in, it brings your eyes out in front. That's what it do, what it does with this. And this here, black, of course, supposed to be lined around. You can line it right under here with that. Under here with this. It don't make any difference, either one you want to do. But it's faster with this here. And as I say, this is what you take the Toby Conning call.
Why did you stop using that black makeup?
Well, I'll tell you, back about 55, I stopped it. I was in television, see. When I went in television, it was just too much of a mess to have all this shit. And I could make up cleaner by doing tramp than I could doing this. I use a lot of water, and there's a little bit difference in this year. This has got all a little oil in this. The other is a dry cork. I had some cork here in a sack that I was going to show you. Back in them days when I was working, we used a cork just like you fish with. It's a cork you put on a line. Well, if we were out there in the country and couldn't get to town, you know, we didn't get to town, we'd be 40, 50 miles from a town. And a drugstore's where you pick it up at. So we went to the nearest little store over yonder, and we got us a sack, a bushel of stoppers, and we went behind the medicine show stage like I am now, and we sat there and picked out a pile about that high and poured a little kerosene on, burn them. Which when you burn a pack about that much, you don't get this, your box full. About half full, and we have to use that till we get close to a town, or when we move to another spot, then maybe the doctor goes into town. We didn't have no way of going. He's the only one who had an automobile. So when he went into town, he bought us a couple boxes of Stein's burnt cork, which would last us maybe 3 or 4 months. It's according to how much you had to do. Now, a lot of times we did matinee, see. That called for more cork, see. And if you're taking it off to go anywhere, well, you had to redo it over again. See, and black stops up all the pores of your skin, really. And you want to take it off as quick as you can so your face will get air. Clown don't. I mean, not the clown, but the tramp comic don't. Because there's a lot of his skin exposed and it don't burn him as much, see. And the sweat have to come out and the oil in your face has to come out and soak into that black, see. Which shines it up and takes the glitter away. And you have to take it off and redo it again. Because when you went on that stage back then, it had to be right. The doctor said it had to be right. If you wanted a job, and if you didn't have a job, you didn't eat. You know, we wasn't figuring on getting a car, we was figuring on eating. That's where you figured on it. from one breakfast, dinner, and supper. He said, you want to eat, don't you? All right, take it off and put it on rice. Of course, he didn't have to tell us that. We knew we had it to do. So we never did have to do that. We always, the ones who wanted a job done it. And I didn't see too many that didn't want one when he's in this business. It was hard, but I made a living in it ever since I started in it, which I was about 13 years old when I went on the road. And I've been into it ever since then, up until now. I never went hungry too much, but now I'd lie if I say I didn't go hungry. Because I went into towns. And maybe just make enough to buy gas to get out of town and pray you'd get to another town and pray you'd make enough to eat on. But you had to have gas to get to the other town. And we drove that T model and you didn't whiz over there, you know, over them dirt roads. You drove slowly over them dirt roads because you had 4 or 5 tires to fix while you was going over there. Now you forget tires, you don't have to fix one, but we did then. We could meet them all along the road and maybe show guys. He's out patching the inner tube. We stop and help him and somebody stop and help us.
Greasy, do you miss those old days of traveling around on the road and doing the blackface?
Do I miss them? Med show. I've did a little bit of all. I've did commercials now. In fact, it ain't been long ago I've did commercials. Television. I've did television, vaudeville, I'm talking about up into this part. And vaudeville, I've did, they have these here, little get-togethers, you know, musicians get together, bluegrass festivals, we do all them. But I wouldn't give my medicine show days for all of it, even now. Not even Hollywood I wouldn't swap it for it, because that was the greatest life that I've ever spent. Just like Roy Acuff said yesterday, he remembered back when me and him started in this business way back. He started a little bit after. I started a little bit before he did. And I guess I've been in 7-8 years before he ever got into it. But he started in about 33, see. And I started in about 25, see. And anyway, he said, I wouldn't swap my career back into then, my medicine show days. It was so good. What made it so good for us, he was young. Now, I'll tell it on him, he didn't bring it out like that. But we were young, see. We'd stay in a town from 2 to 3 weeks, and we could get acquainted with girls. And after a while, it just felt like you lived there, you see, and you just had a good time. But when Vaudeville, just one night, you knew nobody, only what was on the show. You'd play a night here and a night here, you cross the whole continental United States, and you didn't know nobody on what was on the show. You didn't have time to get acquainted. That's why most of them. And did you know medicine show drawed the top performers that were in the country? They paid more. They didn't have no nut. Their little stage he had put up out there in that field, that's all he had. Well, that Vaudeville had to get rooms and for the performers. They had to book all that, agents booked all that ahead, see. Well, that was a big nut. And when I went in tent show business Vaudeville, he had a great big 50 by 95 top out there and all that equipment. Could easily the storm come along and blow it down, see. Well, he couldn't pay the price that med show could, and so these big medicine shows just drawed all top performers, every one of them, because he made more money, and you know where you made more money at. They can call it medicine show, what they want to call it. I'd rather be on that medicine show down there making, I'm going to put the top price back then, $8 or $10 a week. And brother, when you was making $8 or $10 a week down there, you was getting $500 and $600 like you do now a week. Cause I believe I could have done more with the $10 I made a week back. That's boarding food, so $10 in boarding food. But that's when he's getting 25 and 50 cents a day. My daddy were.
Grease, being here and participating in this medicine show, does that bring back the old days for you?
You don't know how much you do. It's like me and Roy were sitting over there talking. You'll never know how far we went back and how many you could dream. You know, there's a song called Dream, Dream, Dream. Me and him were sitting over there. Just to feel good for a few minutes and meet some of the old performers. It came down here, participated in medicine show. Now some it didn't know medicine. Now that's Roy, he did. And this doc here, he did. He knows it. Now we three know it. We were in it. I spent 14 years just in one of these big medicine shows. Plus pitch shows like these. Now one like this year is called a pitch show, P-I-T-C-H. Why I drive in town with this truck and maybe you play the instrument out here in town, I'd say, hey, what about playing a little bit on the truck? And back in them days, you thought you was a star if I got you up there, cause that doctor up there, some of them had a big things up on his lap hills and that Stetson hat up there. You was even scared of him, much less anything else. You know, he's like, come on up here, boy. Up here. I'll tell you what you feel. If you'll do a good job for me, I might give you 25 cents. And more than 25 cents, that just tore you up, see. You had never made nothing, picking. And you was glad to even get up there, and all them little town gals say, look at John. That's what brought them up there. And so when you left town, then some of them said, I was in medicine business. They ain't never been in it. You got to get it and know the ropes of it. Know how it was done. I know how it was made. I've helped stop side of the road and make it. I didn't sell it, but I was with the man and he said, I got to stop and pour up some medicine. So we stopped and poured up some medicine and labeled it. I had a brother-in-law was in medicine business. Now he made his own, but he only sold liniment. And we labeled it, see. Of course now the basic of that liniment is coal oil, which is kerosene, see. But you, We had alkanet root, pine root, all the pine needles, all the sassafras, and all the eucalyptus, all that mixed in it.
One last one.
Sink.
Can we have a beep?
Switch over. Okay. Hold for 1 second. 70 tail. That's probably the second 70.
Yeah, when you was on that stage, you thought you was Clark Gable. You pick out one that's got his own automobile, see. I didn't have one, so he had your transportation. Oh, yeah, I've had him to follow us for miles, 50 and 75 miles. Come on to the next town over.
Ed, 71. Greasy, how common was blackface back in
the That was it. Black was done the top comic on med shows. He was a leading comedian. Toby was a second comic. He done bits and doubles and singles. The black done the afterpieces. He was featured in all of them. All the afterpieces, black did it. And him and a straight, the doctor didn't work. Occasionally, the doc would have some little short crossfire he'd do with you, maybe when he went out to sell something, but that's it. He didn't have nothing to do with his performance. You had a straight man. That's the issue, guy. That's what I'm telling you about. When this med show, their flash is what they betted on. When he went out there, boy, and the women wore evening gowns. And when that med show opened that night and he hit that stage out there, you thought you was on Broadway. Boy, and that doc and that straight man dressed in this shit, and the comic looked like a comedian there. But when you go out there, one of them dressed in about like I'm dressed, you can't get comedy with them. Now with the straight man, he had on this nice suit of clothes, dignified, you know, he went out there to do sensible stuff. And I just confused him and worked up. And then the way it looked, he was trying to get rid of me all the time, cause to do what he had to do. And I was all the time sticking my nose in where I didn't have no business to. And he'd have to stop what he was doing to get me straightened out, if it was a bit. Now in an afterpiece, of course, that was everybody, we had for 5 to 6, maybe 7 working in it. See, but the black was the leading. And when it was billed in a town like your hand bills, that blackface name was at the top. He didn't bill his name, the doc. There was no such a thing as billing his name. It's a free show tonight featuring Greasy Madden, Smokey Strat, or whoever it was, Hambone or whoever the black was on his show, he featured him. None of the rest wasn't featured on that. And might little down on this side, he might run a few of the names. But that featured him all the time. So he was a leading one on that show.
Was there a certain point when black people did not like to see blackface anymore?
Well, now, you know, it comes to a point like this. They thought if a black was making fun of them, but it wasn't completely wrong. It's just like them wanting to imitate a Irishman, and I've seen some of them do it, see, and tell jokes on him, and I've known some of them to do it, and Italians, jokes on them. Well, I mean, if you can call it segregation on either one, I mean, they could jump up and say, hey, you're discriminating me. I mean, I don't like it. I mean, that's what they could say. But the confusion got up so thick, so why fight it? So we just let it go. And now they didn't care. I had some of the best friends and black people in the world on the show. And we didn't have no discrimination on no show. Everyone on that show eat together. They went out together. They worked together on that. And there was no such a thing into it. And so when all this started up, I couldn't understand what happened to it. I didn't pay no more attention to him than I did one of you guys standing around there. All of us at night, you know, if it was a tent show, med show, get out there and put some rocks up out there while we barbecued. That's our barbecue and then throw some steaks. We all had iron steaks. That was the rear end, rear axle out of T-models. Get a couple of them, limb crossing breaks up there and have it all sit around and laugh and talk. As after show. But now, here's the difference. We're talking about eating when you put on show. Now, buddy, that was strictly against the law, and men are abortable. You eat at 2, no later than 2 o'clock, and you didn't eat no more till after that show. No more. If you did, he didn't need you. Because he said, I want you on that stage live, not dead. And when you get filled up and get on that stage, you ain't no good. Your mouth dried out, and you can't talk. Your stomach, you can't sing. You got that act to put on. But when you ain't got no food in you from 2 o'clock on till 8 that night, when you go on that stage, you got fire in you. You can sell that show. Now, when that show's over, you on your own. You can eat what you want until 2 o'clock next day.
One last question. When you think back on the shows, and you just, you close your... Are you okay, Phil?
Fine.
If you close your eyes and you think back and you see the medicine show again, as it was then, what do you see? What's your favorite image of the show? Is there a picture that comes into your mind?
The most beautiful one is when you hit one of these mountain towns down in a ravine, down in where it's level grounds all, and the, after you set the show up, maybe we just moved in there, we don't know how it's gonna be, a red one or a bloomer. We set it up out there and you look at it, and I've often wondered, you know, all that background mountain coming up, you know, on the sides, you know, and all that beautiful, you don't see anybody. Maybe one little store up yonder, and the post office is in the store. And a gas station, that one is your pump. That was all the way in the town. And I can just, the beautifulest thing I've often thought about is at night when about just at sundown, getting dark, is to watch them mountaineers coming down out of them mountains for the show. When it gets dark, you can, that whole side of that mountain is lit up with little firebugs, look like. Everybody got his own lantern. He's coming from all through them mountains in there with that lantern. And they all gang up there around that show, some to 3,000 to 4,000. And you'd wonder, now this is something I've wondered about, and